Welcome to Nye's Notes. I'm Jerry Nye, the Bible guy, looking forward to bringing you another lesson from Romans chapter 8. We stopped off last time in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, so we'll begin with verse 9. Here's the verse. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. This is the only real test, the only proof of salvation. It's not do you attend church. It's not do you attend a good church. It's not how many services do you attend. It's not do you read your Bible every day. It's not do you pray. It's not how much do you pray. It's not do you witness. Do you pass out tracts? It's not do you give. It's not do you give scripturally. It's do you support mission. None of these. It's not any of these things. The real proof is, do you have the Holy Spirit? And if you do and are living after the Spirit, then all these things will be present in your life. If you have the Holy Spirit and are not living after the Spirit, then only some of these things will be present in your life. Paul said to the carnal Christians at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6:19, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? From verse 9 to verse 11, there are four ifs, big ifs. We see four phrases which all mean the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the believer. Verse 9, the Spirit of God dwell in you. In verse 9, the Spirit of Christ. In verse 10, if Christ be in you. In verse 11, his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Holy Spirit doesn't take his abode in you sometime after you get saved, but the moment you trust Christ in your heart. Romans 10:9, when you believe in your heart, here it is, verse 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The charismatics in Jamaica, where we were, taught that you got the Holy Spirit when you got saved, but when you spoke in tongues and when you got the Holy Ghost. They thought God was in four parts. They are the same person. I'm reading John 7:39. But this spake he of the Spirit, capital S, which they believe on him should receive the Holy Ghost, was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Here in the same verse we got the Spirit and the Holy Ghost being one and the same person. There's a contrast between the people in verses 5 through 8 and the people in verses 9 through 11. Different classes of people. One is controlled by the flesh. They're lost, controlled sin in their life. One is controlled by the Spirit. They're saved. All the Trinity is involved in our salvation. God the Father had compassion on his creation and sent his Son. Jesus came and lived a perfect life and fulfilled all the law and died in our place for our redemption. The Holy Spirit convicted us of our need for redemption and regenerated us, indwelt us, sealed us, baptized us, and leads us today. If we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we are not saved. We're not born again. We're not quickened. We're not regenerated, not redeemed, not going to heaven. Now, the question is, do you have him or not? The first confirmation is in the residing of the Holy Spirit, verse 9. Let me read Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Second confirmation is in the righteousness. When a person is saved, the body is not changed. It'll still die. The body is dead because of sin. When we are saved, our body is still dead, but our behavior is changed. Our soul is regenerated, not our body. When D.L. Moody was saved, he described his conversion this way. He said, I was in a new world. The sun shone brighter. The birds sang sweeter. Nature was at peace. Life in Christ is abundant. Let me read that verse, John chapter 10, verse 10, talking about abundant life. Here it is. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We will have a righteous behavior because we are now declared righteous in the eyes of God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Paul is preaching pure grace. Pure grace is Christ in you by the grace of God. Christ is God's grace brought down to man. Let me read John 1, verse 14. John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, we are partakers of a divine nature. I'm reading 2 Peter 1:4. whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hey, no corruption, no condemnation. The divine nature is the person of the Holy Spirit. We have a divine person in us that gives us a divine nature. Oh, what a nature that is. What a different nature than our carnal, Adamic, sinful nature. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Paul said to the Christian believers, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In the flesh. I'm going to read a part of a devotion book that I have by A.W. Tozer. Let me read this. Before the Spirit of God can work creatively in our hearts, he must condemn and slay the flesh within us. That is, he must have our full consent to displace our natural self with the person of Christ. This displacement is carefully explained in Romans 6, 7, and 8, when the seeking Christian has gone through the circumcising experiences described in chapter 6 and 7, he enters into the broad, free regions of chapter 8. There, self is dethroned and Christ is enthroned forever. Crucified with Christ. In the flesh does not mean living by the dictates of his carnal nature, the Adamic nature. It's living in this world in his physical body. Paul was dead, yet he was alive and speaking. All believers are dead to the flesh, but alive to God. We need to crucify the flesh daily. Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In verse 1, Paul speaks of the saint being in the Savior, but in verse 10, he speaks of the Savior being in the saint. The saint and the Savior. Verse 1 speaks of position. Positional sanctification. That's our standing. That's our salvation. The Savior and the saint, verse 10, speaks of possession. Christ in you brings death to the body. The believer is dead to the control and condemnation of sin. All believers don't live like that. All believers are dead to their flesh when they crucify the flesh. We have a command to crucify, to die of the flesh, but we don't always do it, do we? Sometimes the flesh wins. Sometimes we do things when the flesh is in control. The flesh resurrects and we do things, we say things, we go places, we look at things, we read things we shouldn't be doing. He is free from sin's fear and from sin's force when we crucify the flesh. We should live as believers who are dead to the flesh, free from sin's control. Sad to say, we all don't do that, do we? Paul didn't say there was no conviction for sin, because we all sin and the Holy Spirit convicts us. He said there's no condemnation for sin if, that's a big if right here, if we are in Christ. But this doesn't mean we can live any way we want. Look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Third confirmation here is in the resurrection. Quicken here means to give life, to make alive, to cause to live. The soul of man who has accepted Christ will never be subject to spiritual death, but the body is subject to physical death. Our bodies are subject to sickness and death, and this will continue on until our adoption is complete. That is, until we get our new redeemed bodies. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is confirmation of a future resurrection of our body. When you got saved, your soul got saved, your soul got redeemed, but your body is not redeemed yet. When our body dies, our soul goes to be with the Lord. The body goes to the grave, but that is not the end of our body. Our spirit goes back to God. There's a future for our body too. It will be raised incorruptible. Let me read 1 Corinthians 15 right here. I'm starting with verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Wow. This change will happen quickly. in the twinkling of an eye at the rapture. Our bodies will not be like the old ones, thank goodness. They'll last for an eternity. Let's read verse 12 and verse 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Salvation brings an obligation to live a holy life. We have the Spirit, but does the Spirit have us? We're no longer debtors to the flesh. We're sold under sin. Chapter 7, verse 14 is an example of a slave sold to his master. Before salvation, we're slaves to sin, under sin master, Satan. But oh, once you get saved, he's dethroned. We have a new master. Now we're free from the old master to have a new king in our life. Therefore, speaks of the spiritual blessing discussed before. No condemnation, verse 1. Freedom from the law of sin and death. Righteousness imputed to us. Life and peace. The Holy Spirit in us. Christ in us. A resurrection guaranteed, in verse 11. All these blessings bring an obligation to us to live for God, not to live for the flesh, but to live for God, to live a holy life. Flesh itself is not evil, but flesh, speaking of our carnal nature, is evil and will get us into much trouble. Let me read verse 13 again. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Oh, two big ifs right here in verse 13. One brings death and one brings life. Again, we see the work of the Holy Spirit in us to help us mortify, that is, to put to death the flesh. Our obligation is a commitment to crucify the flesh and live for a loving, merciful God. If someone does something nice to you, aren't you at least obligated to thank them? We owe God more than just a thank you, don't we? We owe him our life, our physical life here on earth, and our everlasting life in heaven one day, maybe soon. Let the Holy Spirit lead us to spiritual thinking, to spiritual living, to spiritual practices of life. This is that abundant life in John 10:10. 13 says, ye shall live. Living for God and crucifying the flesh brings some good results. Our spiritual life will have some life to it. We'll be interested in spiritual things. We'll be bored to death when we go to Sunday school, Sunday morning service. We won't be bored by hearing God's word, preaching, or being taught. The Bible study and prayer time will turn us off, no anymore. No. The reason we're guilty of boredom is non-interest in the word of God. We haven't mortified the deeds of the flesh. The flesh still reigns in our life. We need to kill it. We need to kill it. Verse 14, Romans 8, verse 14. For as our many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Having the Holy Spirit is not only proof of salvation. Following him is another proof. Led by the Spirit of God. One of the greatest blessings of having a comforter is being led by him. The best leading of all is God's leading. His will is perfect. If we don't have the Spirit of God, we're not God's, not saved. If we're not led by the Spirit of God, we're not God's. God never leads contrary to his word. Sometimes Christians go where we know we're not led there by the Spirit of God. Sometimes Christians do things we're not led by the Spirit of God. Decisions not always easy to make, are they? Divine wisdom only comes from God, the Holy Spirit. The more important the decision, the more we need to trust God's leading. Ask him for help, man. God is always there for help. The Holy Spirit will help us. The Word of God will help us. Friend, if you need help about heaven, about eternal life, Jesus is the only way there. Only through him. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you're not saved, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Realize that you're a sinner, but willing to turn from your sin. That's repentance. And trust him and him only. And he'll save you. He'll forgive you. He'll make you one of his children. He'll bring a new life to you. And that'll give you eternal life as well. God bless you, friend. Share this with your friends. This is Jerry Nye, the Bible Guy, from Nye's Notes. Until next time, keep looking up.